Hi there. Welcome to Good Life Church. At the moment, we're doing the Good Life series. It's a 6-week program exploring the heart and mission of Good Life. So I really hope you enjoy what we have to share over this time, and I hope you feel equipped to live the bigger story that Jesus invites us into.
Last week, so if this is your first time here, we are halfway through a series that we're doing called The Good Life. And it's the invitation that Christ gives to us for living life in all its fullness, the way things were meant to be, the way God wants us to experience life. And we started off in our first week talking about our mission and purpose. And then we were talking about community and the power of connection and how we're to reflect the image of God, a triune God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. And we reflect that image in the way that we connect with one another, because the image that you of the God that you worship impacts the way that you live. So if your image of God isn't true or healthy, then you're going to reflect that image in the way that you relate to others. And so we're invited in that message to say, how can we connect with others in the way that we see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit connecting and relating to each other in this beautiful dynamic of harmony and oneness and loving sacrificial service to one another? And then last week, we were talking about contribution, and we were using the phrase, the many over the few. And if you were here last week, we were talking from the book of Acts, chapter 6, about how the early church began to grow. And as it was increasing, there was just so much endless joy and there was no problems. And if only we could be a church just like that church. Except that we popped that bubble pretty quickly as we read the actual scripture and realized that as the church increased and it grew and great things were happening, problems also increased, growing pains. And so they had to get themselves organized, because the priority that Jesus gave them to care for one another, to live out the message of the Sermon on the Mount in caring for widows and orphans and the poor, that needs organization. That needs a community to not just think, what am I getting from the apostles and the disciples, but how am I going to play my part in the community? And so we were talking about the importance of everyone sharing the responsibility and how we have a passion and we may have a gift, but if you have a passion and a gift, but there's a responsibility that's not being met, the priority always goes to, let's make sure we fulfill the responsibility on the way to fulfilling our passion and our responsibility, so that we don't end up with just a few people carrying the load of responsibility that we have as a community, but we actually flip it the other way, where it's the many over the few. Because when we all share the responsibilities, it actually creates margin for all of us to express our passion and our gifting. And so I'm super encouraged by the feedback and just different things I've been hearing from all the groups meeting about how people have been wrestling with that. And last week we had our sign-ups for teams. And I just want to say thank you for just engaging and leading into this. And we're saying that the result of this is that we end up with a healthy, sustainable community that is blessed to be a blessing. And the key verse from last week was, the result was, and the word of God spread. In other words, the life of God continued to just spread and advance, because the body of Christ, which is the metaphor for us as a community, was being its true self. Now today, we're going to talk about celebration. Now, I know that's a sad thing for many of you, because you don't like celebration. But nevertheless, we're going to talk about it anyway. And by the end, you're going to love celebration. Today, we're going to talk about celebration as the metaphor for how we do corporate worship. And next week, we're going to talk about transformation as the practices of our faith in our private life. And what that looks like. But today we're going to talk about our communal worship and what that looks like. And I want to begin by looking at this passage from Psalm chapter 95, verses 1 to 2. Now, if you have an old school Bible that has a cover and pages, if you're not sure what that is, just talk to someone who looks a little older than you and just say, hey, can you show me what one of those looks like? Because you may never have seen one. You may have been introduced to faith and someone showed you an app and said, here's the Bible app. And you just think the Bible is a digital thing in your phone. So just in case you've never seen one, just ask. In the middle of the old school Bible, we have the Psalms. And the Psalms are a collection of almost journal entries by very often people like David or King Solomon or different people. They're a collection of all these different writings, some of which are communal expressions of song, of poetry, of praise to God. And then some of them are deep personal reflections. Some of them are laments. Lamenting meaning like, you know, groaning out with frustration or anger or disappointment. And so the Psalms is this whole collection, but there's a lot of them that actually speak to our communal expression. And in Psalm 95, verses 1 to 2, it says this, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. What a great verse. This is an invitation to the people of God and in its time to Israel to come together and to gather and to celebrate who God is and what God has done. The word celebration, as you would know, generally refers to like a joyful or a festive occasion. So we say we're going to have a celebration. Sometimes we use the word in our contemporary language, we're going to have a party. And we're going to celebrate something that's happened. It could be your birthday. I don't know why we do that. Hey, I'm a year older. Let's have a party. Whereas I've wondered about this. I'm like, yeah, we celebrate that. That's always going to come around, and that's good. Celebrate life. It's a good thing. I'm turning 50 this year, so trust me, we're going to celebrate it, all right? But imagine if we celebrated life transformation. Like, when was the last time you had your friends come over, you put on a party and a celebration, and you said, I used to struggle with alcohol, and it no longer has a hold over me. Or, I was such an angry, cranky dad for so many years, but I'm becoming more peaceful, and my kids are saying I'm calmer, and they actually like being around me. Let's have a party. Telling you, all the kids are rocking up for that one. You know, but we often don't do this, but this is a challenge for us to think about. What are the things that we're celebrating? Now, this word celebration comes from the Latin word celebratio, which means to assemble in great numbers. And we know this. Celebrations have been part of human history since the beginning of time. They're an opportunity for us to bond together, to express gratitude, to mark important moments in our life. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures, which you commonly would think of as the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew word for celebration is a word called simcha, which comes from the root meaning to rejoice or to be glad. And this idea we see in different scriptures, such as Psalm 30, verse 11, where it says, you have turned me from my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. In other words, a celebration, a sense of rejoicing. Psalm 32 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Celebrate. O righteous people, shout for joy, all you upright in heart. When was the last time that you shouted for joy? Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Some translations say with worship, but this is best understood with celebration in the way that we're talking about this today. Come into his presence with singing. In other words, the invitation in the Hebrew scriptures is when you gather together with God's people, come with an intention to celebrate, to give thanks, to rejoice, to give praise. not necessarily because all of your circumstances are going amazing, but because of who God is and where your hope rests. In the New Testament, much of which is written in Greek, the word for joy or rejoicing is the Greek word chara. And we often see this word as in examples like Luke chapter 15, verse 7, where Jesus says, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy," that's the word there, "in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." What's happening there? Jesus is saying, heaven rejoices when someone's transformed. Like, heaven's already doing what I was saying a few minutes ago. They're having a party. They're celebrating when someone says, "I've decided to walk away from rage and anger and bitterness. I've decided to let go of unforgiveness. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to walk in the direction of life, the good life that Jesus invites." And when anyone repents and when they change, we often, when I was a kid, when I heard this verse, it was just, this just meant someone becoming a Christian. So you're like, all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. In other words, when someone says, "Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus," and we go, "Cool, tick, another one." No, so much bigger than that. Of course it includes anyone who changes the direction of their life and says, "I want to walk the way of Jesus." All heaven rejoices, no doubt about it. But this is me and you in this verse too. When we shift our thinking towards Jesus, what, heaven rejoices? There's a party going on. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes a letter to the church in Philippi, and in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice," here's the word again, "rejoice in the Lord." Who are we rejoicing in? The Lord, not your circumstances. We rejoice in the Lord. He's our hope when everything goes wrong. He's our hope when death's on our doorstep. He's our hope in grief. He's our hope when we battle depression and anxiety. He's our hope when there isn't enough money in the bank account and you're thinking, "Man, how am I going to afford this?" We rejoice in the Lord. And he says again, I'll say, rejoice. It's like you got to tell yourself, you got to tell your soul, "Oh, this is what I need to do. I need to rejoice." Now today we're going to be talking for a few minutes about what it means for us to gather in our corporate gathering and to celebrate together. And I want to shape it in terms of this one big idea, and we're going to put this up on the screen, and this is the idea. So when we gather together, what we're doing is we are celebrating who God is, what God has done, what God is doing in us and through us. So when you think about coming to church, this is the corporate gathering, this is the larger gathering, and this is not all of what church is. Church is when we gather in our small groups. Church happens well beyond this one larger service gathering, and I'm glad it does, because we can't do all of what church is about in this space. Well, that's why we need a life group. That's why we need a small community to be able to express our spiritual gifts that God has given us to build up and encourage and to share and learn together and pray over one another. We can't all do this in this one particular gathering, but we can do some other things in this gathering. We can gather together and we can corporately celebrate who God is. And I want to begin with that for a moment. If we go to the next slide, when we break this down, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about celebrating who God is as God's character. Who is this God that we're worshiping? So if you came in here today and you're like, "Okay, I don't have a Christian church background. I'm not used to faith. I don't know what you're going on about." Just use some American lingo there. "I don't know what you are." Oh, that was for you, Rich. By the way, welcome, Rich Hodge. Mind blank on your wife's name. Lynn. Rich and Lynn Hodge, some of you remember they spoke here last year. Wonderful people, great to have you back with us. Can we just give them a hand? We're celebrating the character of God. So if you come in here and we're singing all these songs and you're like, what are you all going on about? Why are some of you clapping? Why are some of you lifting your hands up in the air like you just don't care? It's not that. It's because we care. We're actually saying who God is matters to us, and we're expressing with joy. We're rejoicing in the character of who God is. And we use our bodies, we use our minds, we use every part of us. And so when we talk about celebrating who God is, we're talking about perhaps in John chapter 4, verse 24, where it says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Or 1 John 4, 8 that says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's just the character of who God is. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 12:29 says an interesting thing. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. What on earth does that mean? It's going to burn us all up. Is that what it means? Nope. It doesn't mean that. As a matter of fact, I love the way the Eastern Orthodox Church understands this, which is having a huge impact on how the Western Church is understanding what this verse actually means, because what it means is that the character of God is like a fire that burns everything that is not of God's way and love. God is a consuming fire that the parts of us that don't look like his love in his presence are consumed, and we are refined and we are restored. Which is why when Simon Peter is in the boat with Jesus, and all of a sudden he realizes in whose presence he is with, he experiences the refining, consuming fire of God, because all of a sudden he realizes, whoa, he sees the stark contrast between who he is and who Christ is. But Christ doesn't leave him in that place of withdrawing. Jesus invites him to come in and to experience the restoration and the healing and the disciple-making work of becoming who God is inviting him to be. And it's good news. 1 John 1:5 says that God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. So when we come together and we celebrate, you come in and we sing and we worship and we pause and we're quiet and we make a joyful noise and we do all the different things that we do because we're rejoicing in who God is, in God's character, regardless of how we feel. And this is something that I learned as a young boy. I worship God, I praise God, I celebrate God, regardless of how I feel. So much of the time in our world, we're taught to respond only out of our emotion to situations and to people. But you know, as a parent, if you responded to your children only ever out of how you feel, your kids probably wouldn't eat sometimes. You know, like, because what you feel is, I'm having a bad day, I'm tired, I worked hard to get the money so you can live in this house, so you can do all the things that you do, and no, I don't feel like making you dinner tonight. Now, I've never thought that personally. That's Teresa. I'm joking. But, I mean, look, for all of us, we have those moments. But we don't live by our feelings alone. We live out of our conviction, right? What's the right thing to do? Now, it's not that we ignore our feelings. We need to pay attention to those feelings because they're telling us something. But when I come in here on a Sunday and I gather with everyone here and I think about my week, I don't come in here and say, oh, I'm not praising God today. I'm not worshiping God today because I'm tired, I'm grumpy, I've had an exhausting week. What I do is I bring all of that in and I say, here's how I'm feeling, and yet I will worship you, God. I will rejoice in who you are because it's your character that will sustain me. It's who you are that gives me hope. So that's where I turn my attention. So that's what we mean when we celebrate who God is. We celebrate his character. The second part is we celebrate what God has done. This is where we remember what his past acts have been. This is his mighty works throughout history. How has he rescued his people? How has he provided for his people in the past? And so we give praise and we celebrate what he has done. The habit of the people of Israel was, in the Old Testament times, every time something significant happened on their journey, they would pause, they would sometimes build a monument, they would have a festival, they would have a big party, and they would declare a celebration for what God had done. And this was a moment to pause and to say, hey, we need to stop, which is why we do parties, which is why we celebrate, because we pause from regular work and we say, it's time to celebrate someone. It's time to just take some time out and celebrate life. And in this context, it's what God has done. But we know that what God has done is so great. What God has done through Jesus, his saving work on the cross, his resurrection life that he invites us all into. God, you have done so much good, and we celebrate you and we give you thanks. So that's part of what we do when we gather. The second is we celebrate what God is doing in us and through us. The first part of that is what God is doing in us. What is God doing in us? What is God doing in you? And I like to think of this in terms of his healing restoration. We need to celebrate that. We need to celebrate it as a community. When we can say, hey, and this is true, this part. When I was younger, like most young people, I lived my life out of my identity and who I thought other people thought I was. But you know what's one of the most beautiful freeing things in the world? And I'm not 100% out of that. Is that God just keeps restoring and healing me and letting me know I'm loved and I don't have to impress people. Because when I was a kid, I got stood up in front of the whole church with 600 people in a service while the pastor put his hand on me while I was shaking, telling everyone what a fine young man I was and the kind of person I'd be. And like, yeah, that was encouraging and that was an important little moment in my life. But you know what ended up happening? I found myself having to live up to an expectation of everyone saying, what an amazing young man of God you are. You're always doing the right thing. You're always impressing. You're always winning. You're always succeeding. And the more I did it, the more people celebrated that. So I built this idea that if I do that, that helps me have a relationship with people. But over years now, I'm talking probably 15 years, I've really had to do the deep work by God and the power of the Spirit to get free from some of that stuff that's helped me be constrained and stuck in something where I can't be who God's inviting me to be. Which is why now, I can have tough conversations with people. I can talk about difficult things with people. For I hope I do it in a loving, gracious, kind, Jesus-looking way. But I couldn't do that in the past because I was addicted to making people always have to like me. But I can celebrate in this community that God is doing a healing, restoring work in my life. And so when I praise God, I'm thanking God for that work that he has done and that he continues to do in me. Can I have an amen about that? And is there anyone else in here who is grateful and thankful for anything that God has been doing over years in your life to set you free? Anyone? We got a lot to give thanks about and to celebrate, and I will keep preaching it. And the last part of this is what God does through us. We're celebrating what God is doing through our mission partners and so many of them in our community. We're celebrating what God is doing through Lifehouse. We're celebrating what God is doing through our children's ministry and our youth work. We're celebrating what God is doing through our center and all the different expressions of God's love that serve thousands of people through this place. We're celebrating how God has called you to be a missionary of God's love and life and grace wherever you go, whether you're in an Uber or whether you're at the school or whether you're in your workplace, whether you're at home, wherever you go, we're celebrating that God is at work in you and he's working through you to bring his life and his love to the world around about us. And that is a good thing for us to celebrate. That's why we tell stories. That's why we share testimonies of God at work in our community, and we are going to keep doing that. Now, I want to finish and wrap up today with a few thoughts around what helps us really celebrate who God is, what God's done, and what God is doing in and through us as a community. And I want to focus on this word for a few moments, and it's this, the word posture. Your posture has a significant impact on the way that you engage with your physical being, with your breathing, with your digestion, with your emotional and mental health well-being, with your sensory and perception. This is just what science tells us. Science tells us that the way we physically engage our bodies impacts our health. And I think that's a great metaphor for us to be thinking about in the way we engage God, the way we engage the Holy Spirit at work in our community. If God has come not just to save our souls, but our entire being, then God wants to redeem and restore every aspect of who we are, which is why the great commandment says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. In other words, every part of who you are. God hasn't come just to save your soul so you can go to a disembodied heaven later on. God is a God of resurrection, including your body, your mind, your emotion, every part of who you are. And so our posture is so important in the way that we experience God, the way that we express our devotion to God, the way we experience community. Examples of this is like 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54. It says, when Solomon had finished all these prayers, this is a personal expression of this, and his supplications or requests to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. This is a physical expression of what's in his heart and mind. Psalm 95, 6 says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now we know there are psalms and there are invitations all the way throughout Scripture that invite us to clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That was a song when I was a kid. The music pastor at a church that I grew up wrote this song. And people used to, in my church growing up, they used to dance. And I never did because I was self-conscious and I wanted to impress people. And I wasn't a good dancer, so I didn't do things that I know I'm going to fail in. See the psychology going on that God's setting me free from? One day I'll dance at someone's wedding, I promise you. God hasn't done that last part of the puzzle yet. But here's the thing. Our posture impacts the way. And so the invitation today is for us to have a posture of leaning up. So pointing our bodies, our minds, our hearts towards, and it's not that God's up. God is everywhere. But it's the metaphor of saying upwards towards God's glory and who God is. Going to lean, have a posture of leaning in. That whatever is happening in and around us, we're like, we want to be part of this, and a posture of leaning outwards. That in a communal environment, we don't come to church here just for me. It's not me and God. It's communal. So here's how I want to invite our community to be thinking about celebration when it comes to our communal worship. And I want to express it this way. It's we come with an intentional posture of giving and receiving. So when you drive through the car park, or me this morning when I went for a walk and I was thinking about today, I'm saying, God, when I come to this, and it's automatic for me. I've done this for years and years and years. But when I come to the gathering today, I'm coming to receive and I'm coming to give. I'm coming to give and I'm coming to receive. And it's not one or the other. It all plays in together and it works like this. When we come to give. We come to give to God, praise, gratitude, worship, and we come to give to others. We thank people, we encourage people. When we see people, we bless them. The second component of this is receiving. We receive from God and we receive from others. You receive God's teaching, you receive God's blessing, His love, His sense of God's presence in this place. How many of you have ever just been in a service and you just feel like you just received a deposit of God's peace or love? Just in a moment, you can't even sometimes explain it, but you're just like, man, I'm just receiving from God. That's the best way we can explain it. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? And the way that this works is that we come together and we put up the slide, probably a couple of slides on from here, that says we give our full selves. Here's how I want to sum this up for us today before we literally practice this and lean in. I was thinking, God, what is... when I think about our corporate gathering as a community, and when we come together to celebrate, what's it look like? Now, it looks like so much more than this, but here's how I kind of summarized it in a little phrase for myself and for us. We give our full selves. We sing to stir our souls. We sing to hold up those who can't sing. There are just some days where you're so overwhelmed. Like then when there was loss of life around our family. When I went through a 3-year period of the most painful time of my life, there were services that I was the pastor at leading the service and I couldn't sing. I just couldn't sing. My heart was singing. My mind wanted to declare God's praises. But you know what? The community around me. I'll never forget one day I felt someone's hand on my shoulder. They knew what was happening. And they sang their heart out with their hand on my shoulder. Oh man, that's communal worship. That's amazing. We sing to hold up those who can't sing. We pause and we reflect. We give thanks. Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, the communion that we have, the bread and the wine, means to give thanks. We say, thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. And we listen for the voice of the Spirit who speaks right into our heart. Maybe you're hearing the Spirit this morning. Something deep in your heart or your mind that just like, that, I don't know where that's coming from, but it looks like love, it's wise, it's beautiful, it's inviting, it's challenging, it's compelling, but it's going to move me towards the life of Jesus. When you sense the Spirit, it's like, whoa. We wander with Spirit-led imagination. When someone's speaking or someone shares or a song is happening, your mind imagines the life that God has. And we see the world afresh through the eyes of God's heart. This, my friends, is what it means for us to be a community that celebrates who God is and what He has done. So as Psalm 47, 1-2 says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy, for the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. We're going to stand, and we're going to sing, and we're going to worship. And if you want prayer today, if you would like someone to stand with you and pray, I would invite you to come forwards to the front or to the side wings here. And our prayer team will be available to pray with you. But let's all stand right now. Thank you for being so kind and waiting. Now, let me bring a little bit of the challenge. I hear this comment said at different times, and I think it's nonsense. I'm just going to tell you straight up front before I tell you what it is. People say, oh, in our church, we're just more reserved. That's just how we are. And I'm like, no, that's wrong, because I saw you at the football or the cricket. In our church, we don't really clap much, or we don't really raise our hands, or we don't really sing out loud, or we don't really do that. Guess what? You don't have to. You can do whatever you want. You can not sing because someone else will sing for you. There should never be a time of pressure. You should never feel like you have to do anything. But I tell you what, when your intention and your posture is, I want to give my full self, sometimes you have to actually just go, I'm going to try this out. I've never lifted my hands ever before. So you start off just down here. No one's really noticing. No one really cares. Your wife goes, what are you doing? Or she thinks it in her head. But you're like, stop, don't look at me. I've never done this before. And you find some freedom. You're like, oh, because it's a position of surrender. Or you lift your hands out in the air and you hope you've got good deodorant on. And you're just like, God, I just want to give you praise. I want to give you thanks. It's not weird. People of all different cultures. I was watching the Coldplay concert. Man, everyone was doing that. It's part of our culture. But it's also part of our faith to use our bodies to clap, to sing, to kneel, to dance, to do whatever, because it's an expression of our love to celebrate who God is. And if you're a super reserved person, I don't care. You do whatever you do. No one's going to judge you. You're free. You want to stand in silence? You want to just be like this? All I'm saying is let the intention, the posture of your heart and mind be, I'm engaged, I'm leaning in, I'm giving my full self. And I'm telling you, when you do, you feel different. You experience different. It happens in the natural. It happens in the spiritual. So let's do that this morning. I'm going to pray and then we're going to lift our voice and we're going to give thanks to our incredible God. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. And Lord, with our quiet personality or our loud personality, with our shy personality or our super outgoing personality, we bring our full selves before you. And we say thank you for transforming our lives. Thank you for who you are, love, mercy, grace. Holy Spirit of God, work in us, work through us, and may you receive our gratitude and our praise. In Jesus' name, let's sing and praise our amazing God.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. If you want to join a small group or you want to find the small group resources and more, it's all on our YouTube channel. Finally, I'd love it if you could follow us on social media or your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next week. Peace.